Good morning, and welcome to the reading of the Brockton Enterprise for Monday, October 3rd, 2022. This is Carrie. Key figure in 1989 Brockton disappearance case charged with unrelated murder. Mailer charged with the 2019 murder in South Carolina. By Namu Sampath, the Enterprise USA Today Network. Brockton. Jennifer Fay, a name heard all around Brockton and now nationally, too. It has been almost 33 years since the then 16-year-old vanished from her Brockton home one November evening. The case remains unsolved, and her family continues to search for answers. However, last month, through a Barstool Sports true crime podcast called The Case, host Kirk Minahane revealed a potentially case-changing connection. Kevin Mailer, according to Fay's younger sister Yvette O'Ban, Mailer was about 7 to 8 years older than Fay, and I saw him hanging around her a lot. I've always thought he was connected to her disappearance, she said. Earlier this month, Mailer, who was already serving time for the distribution of guns and methamphetamine, was charged with the 2019 murder of a man named Kevin Craig in South Carolina. Through police reports and eyewitness testimonies, Minahane found out that the motive for the Craig murder was to cover up the 2019 disappearance of another woman, Faith Roach. According to longtime investigator on the case, Tom Serretta, Mailer is a key figure in the case and is believed to be one of the last people to see Fay on the night she disappeared, he said. He was a known dirtbag then, and he still is one now, he continued. I'm happy they got him on murder, because it'll help unravel all the crimes I'm sure he's committed across the country, O'Ban said. I think of all the cases are connected, even down to my sister's case, which started in 1989, she said. I think my sister saw something she wasn't supposed to, and that's why she's not here. Who is Jennifer Fay and what happened? As her sister describes her, Fay was one of the popular girls. She was happy-go-lucky and very bubbly. She was one of those people who could walk into a room and everyone would light up, she said. On November 14, 1989, O'Ban says her mom left 16-year-old Fay in charge of her and their younger brother while she went out. At around 7:30 p.m., I walked my friend halfway home and put my 4-year-old brother to bed, O'Ban said. Then Jen left because she wanted to hang out with some friends. She came back once to use the restroom and then left, and that was the last time we ever saw her. Now that Mailer has been charged with murder in connection with the disappearance of another woman, I hope they'll ask him more about Jennifer, and I hope he'll come forward truthfully about what happened to her, she said. Fowtown 6 serves up family recipes. Brockton Restaurant serves traditional Vietnamese and American fusion. By Alicia St. Ciel. The Enterprise USA Today Network. Brockton. Right next to Westgate Mall, a traditional Vietnamese and American fusion restaurant has made its way into Brockton. Fowtown 6, located at 27 Westgate Drive, serves warm pho from recipes passed down from owner James Pham's mother. I love cooking and learned everything from my mom. To be successful in the business, you have to have a passion for food. If you cook something, you need to know how certain flavors interact with each other for the best result, Pham said. The restaurant prides itself on serving food free of monosodium glutamate, MSG. Some popular dishes include the pho with your choice of protein, deep-fried orange chicken, fried rice, and house-made egg rolls. The restaurant serves 6 combinations of pho, a Vietnamese soup that takes several days to make. Bowl sizes range from small to medium, large, and extra large. The seafood pho is a dish to try if you're a seafood lover. Pho Town 6's seafood pho offerings include shrimp, fried fish sausage, crab meat, squid, and noodle soup served with chicken or beef broth. The marinated and steamed chicken pho might be a better choice if you lean more towards the land versus the sea. But let's say soup isn't your thing. The restaurant offers several rice plates stacked with vegetables and your choice of protein. James's sister, Hannah Nguyen, the operations manager of Pho Town 6, runs the kitchen and makes the egg rolls by hand with her twist on her mother's recipes. When we were little, everyone knew our mom was a good cook, and she taught us everything we know, Hannah said. Pho Town 6 is one of 7 restaurants opened by James. The first restaurant was in Houston, and James decided to expand even more. At each location, a family member works there and manages the day-to-day operations. James and his family came to America from Vietnam over 40 years ago. The restaurant gives the siblings a sense of home and hopes it does the same to others. When they were younger, cooking together as a family was a bonding activity, especially on holidays. Even on Thanksgiving, the family enjoyed their version of the American holiday and ate turkey pho. James, who has been in the restaurant business since 2016, is looking forward to the franchise expansion of the business. Once you get one business up and running, just copy and paste, James said. Slow to accelerate. It's going to be challenging for them, General Services Administration, probably for at least the next year or two, to really accelerate that pace. Sam Elbulsamid, Principal Mobility Analyst for Guidehouse Insight, President Biden's pledge to convert federal fleet into exclusively electric faces sluggish start. Efforts by President Joe Biden to eliminate gas-powered vehicles from the federal fleet have lagged. Biden last year directed the government to purchase only American-made zero-emission passenger cars by 2027 and electric versions of other vehicles by 2035. The 2027 timeline is said to be on track. But the General Services Administration, the agency that purchases 2/3 of the federal fleet, says there are no guarantees. The U.S. Postal Service, which owns the remaining 1/3 of the federal fleet, says that half its initial purchase of 50,000 next-generation vehicles will be powered by electricity. Currently, just 1,799 of the 656,000 vehicle federal fleet are zero-emission vehicles. Florida struggles to recover from Ian. Swollen river levels aren't expected to drop significantly for days, by Rebecca Santana and Meg Kennard, Associated Press. Fort Myers, Florida. Rescuers evacuated stunned survivors on a large barrier island cut off by Hurricane Ian and Florida's death toll climbed sharply as hundreds of thousands of people were still sweltering without power days after the monster storm rampaged from the state's southwestern coast up to the Carolinas. Florida, with nearly four dozen reported dead, was hit hardest by the Category 4 hurricane, one of the strongest to make landfall in the United States. Flooded roadways and washed-out bridges to barrier islands left many people isolated amid limited cell phone service and a lack of basic amenities such as water, electricity, and the internet. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Saturday multi-billionaire businessman Elon Musk was providing some 120 Starlink satellites to help bridge some of the communication issues. Starlink, a satellite-based internet system created by Musk's SpaceX, will provide high-speed connectivity. Florida utilities were working to restore power. As of Sunday morning, nearly 850,000 homes and businesses were still without electricity, down from a peak of 2.6 million. At least 54 people were confirmed dead, 47 in Florida, 4 in North Carolina, and 3 in Cuba. The weekend storm had drifted north on Sunday and was expected to dump rain on parts of Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and South Pennsylvania, according to the National Hurricane Center, which has warned of the potential for flash flooding. More than 1,000 people were rescued from flooded areas along Florida's southwestern coast alone. Daniel Hokanson, a four-star general and head of the National Guard, told the Associated Press while airborne to Florida. In Washington, the White House announced President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden would travel to Florida on Wednesday, but a brief statement did not release any details of the planned visit. Deanne Criswell, administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, said the federal government has been focused on getting resources to needy victims in Florida. She told Fox News Sunday, the federal government began to pre-position the largest amount of search and rescue assets that I think we've ever put in place before. FEMA search and rescue, Coast Guard, personnel from the Departments of Interior and Defense to supplement the state of Florida's resources. The bridge to Pine Island, the largest barrier island off Florida's Gulf Coast, was destroyed by the storm, leaving it accessible only by boat or air. The volunteer group Medic Corps, which responds to national disasters worldwide with pilots, paramedics, and doctors, went door to door asking residents if they wanted to be evacuated. Some flew out by helicopter, and people described the horror of being trapped in their homes as water kept rising. The water kept pounding the house, and we watched boats, houses, we watched everything just go flying by. Joe Conforti said, fighting back tears. He said if it wasn't for his wife, who suggested they get up on a table to avoid the rising water, he wouldn't have made it. I started to lose sensibility, because when the water's at your door and it's splashing on the door and you're seeing how fast it's moving, there's no way you're going to survive that. River flooding posed a major challenge at times to rescue and supply delivery efforts. The Myakka River washed over a stretch of Interstate 75, forcing a traffic-snarling highway closure for a while before officials said later Saturday that it could be reopened. While swollen rivers have crested or are near cresting, the levels aren't expected to drop significantly for days, National Weather Service meteorologist Tyler Fleming said. Elsewhere, South Carolina's Pawleys Island, a beach community roughly 75 miles up the coast from Charlestown, was also hit hard. Power remained knocked out to at least half the island Saturday. Eddie Wilder, who has been coming to Pawleys Island for more than six decades, said it was insane to see waves as high as 25 feet wash away a landmark pier near his home. We watched it hit the pier and saw the pier disappear, he said. We watched it crumble and watched it float by with an American flag. Wilder's house, located 30 feet above the shoreline, stayed dry inside. In North Carolina, the storm downed trees and power lines. Two of the four deaths in the state were from storm-related vehicle crashes, and the others involved a man who drowned when his truck plunged into a swamp and another killed by carbon monoxide poisoning from a generator in a garage. At Port Sanibel Marina in Fort Myers, Florida, the storm surge pushed several boats and a dock on shore. Charter Captain Ryan Kane said his vessel was so badly damaged that he was unable to use it to help rescue people, and now it will be a long time before he can take clients fishing again. There's a hole in the hull. It took water in the motors. It took water in everything, he said, adding, you know, boats are supposed to be in the water, not in parking lots. Lee County officials ordered residents to evacuate Tuesday, a day later than other counties in the area did. Fort Myers Mayor Kevin Anderson on Sunday defended Lee County officials from accusations that they had been slow in ordering the evacuations ahead of the storm. Pope urges Putin to end Ukraine war, by Francis D'Amelio, Associated Press, Vatican City. Pope Francis on Sunday appealed to Russian President Vladimir Putin for a ceasefire, imploring him to stop this spiral of violence and death in Ukraine and denouncing the absurd risk of the uncontrollable consequences of nuclear attack as tensions sharply escalate over the war. Francis uttered his strongest plea yet about the seven-month-old conflict, which he denounced as an error and a horror. It was the first time in public that he cited Putin's role in the war. The pontiff also called on Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be open to serious peace proposals. Francis told the public, gathered in St. Peter's Square, that he was abandoning his usual religious theme for his Sunday noon remarks to concentrate his reflection on Ukraine. How the war is going in Ukraine has become so grave, devastating, and threatening that it sparks great worry, Francis said. In fact, this terrible, inconceivable wound of humanity, instead of shrinking, continues to bleed even more, threatening to spread, the Pope said. I deplore strongly the grave situation created in the last days with further actions contrary to the principles of international law, Francis said in a clear reference to Putin's illegal annexation of a large swath of eastern Ukraine. It, in fact, increases the risk of a nuclear escalation to the point of fearing uncontrollable and catastrophic consequences on the world level. Rivers of blood and tears spilled these months torment me, the Pope said. Suspect defending himself in Wisconsin parade trial, by Todd Richmond, Associated Press. Darryl Brooks' trial was never going to be easy for the Milwaukee suburb of Waukesha. Now it could hurt even more. Brooks plowed through the city's Christmas parade in his Ford Escape last year, killing six people and injuring dozens more, prosecutors allege. His trial opens Monday with jury selection and is expected to last at least a month. Prosecutors have lined up hundreds of videos of the incident and dozens of eyewitnesses to testify, promising a case that legal experts have called overwhelming. But Brooks changed the playing field last week when Judge Jennifer Doerow ruled he could represent himself. Brooks, who has no legal training, has already shown himself to be disruptive and combative. What looked like a straightforward proceeding could quickly devolve into a painful slog for still grieving witnesses, legal observers said. It's really going to be a challenging trial for the witnesses, said Tom Grieve, a criminal defense attorney based in Madison. You have a defendant who feels like he has nothing to lose. He's going to try to make as big a mess as possible and force a fumble by the prosecutors or a judge and try to force a mistrial or build an appeal. According to a criminal complaint, Brooks, 40, got into an argument with his ex-girlfriend on November 21st, then sped off and drove onto the parade route despite police shouting at him to stop and shooting at him. Police officers described the SUV as moving side to side and running over people. The dead included 8-year-old Jackson Sparks, who was marching in the parade with his baseball team, and 4 members of a group calling itself the Dancing Grannies, a group of grandmothers who dance in parades. Police captured Brooks after he abandoned the SUV and tried to get into a nearby house, the complaint said. Brooks faces 77 charges, including 6 counts of first-degree intentional homicide and 61 counts of felony reckless endangerment. Each homicide count carries a mandatory life sentence. Prosecutors attached a using a dangerous weapon penalty modifier to each endangerment count, bringing those total maximum sentence of each of those charges to 171.172 years. District Attorney Susan Opper has compiled more than 300 videos of the parade. Her witness list is 32 pages long. It includes Sparks' parents, as well as dozens of police officers and FBI agents. There's going to be no question in this jury's mind what happened, who was driving, how these people were injured or killed, Opper told the judge in court last week. Brooks initially pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease, which could have resulted in him being sentenced to a mental institution rather than prison. He withdrew that plea in September without explanation. Brooks can be volatile in court. During a hearing in August, he fell asleep at the defense table, woke up, went on a tirade, and scuffled with a bailiff. At last week's hearing, he repeatedly interrupted Daro as she spoke. Darrow became so frustrated she adjourned until the next day. Horoscope. Aries. There are 2 people you know who simply must meet. You could affect destiny by making the introduction. Taurus. There's a battle of wills going on, but it's so subtle it's possible that only the insiders can detect it. Gemini. Trust your ability to read the room. You may still get what you want without asking. Cancer. People will want to do things for you today. You can ask the hard questions, enlist help with tedious tasks, and get people to sign up for the race. Leo. No one is perfect. Accepting faults is about more than grace and forgiveness. It's about saving time. Virgo, you'll be invigorated by the creativity flowing through you today. Libra, you'll get into the zone of being at once relaxed and aware. You approach common activities with uncommon grace. Scorpio, in theory, your feelings happen inside you and therefore independent of the behaviors of others. But of course, it doesn't work this way. Sagittarius. Image matters, but how much? People will know you by your actions. Capricorn. You can get a little wild when you let yourself. If the wildness in you were predictable, it couldn't be called wildness. Aquarius. Someone gives you a tall order. What makes it challenging is the fact that you've never done it before. Don't be too proud to ask questions. Pisces, As you get older, you care less and less about being liked. Local briefs. Mayflower Chamber Orchestra to present all Beethoven concerts. Middleborough. The Mayflower Chamber Orchestra will present its twice postponed from 2020 program entitled Beethoven at 2:50 on October 8th and 9th. The program includes three of Beethoven's most popular works, the Carolan Overture, the Symphony No. 5 in C minor, and the Symphony No. 7 in A minor. All three date from 1807 to 1812, the central years of Beethoven's so-called middle period. The orchestra consists of freelance musicians who play with other orchestras on the South Shore. In the past, they accompanied the Mayflower Chorale from 1984 through its last Messiah Sing in 2004. And the chorale's successor, the Mayflower Camerata, since 2016. The Saturday concert will be held at 7:30 p.m. at Saints Martha and Mary Church, 354 Bedford Street, Lakeville. The Sunday performance will be held at 3 p.m. at Central Congregational Church, 2 Webster Street, Middleborough. Both performances are free to the public, although a donation of $10 to $20 to help pay for the orchestral musicians is suggested. The churches are wheelchair accessible. Pandemic protocols such as the wearing of masks are suggested, but not required. The Jethros return to Open Road Coffee House, Rockland. The Jethros return to the stage at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, 8 at Open Road Coffee House at Channing Unitarian Universalist Church, 45 Webster Street. Doors open at 7. We've run out of time for the reading of the Brockton Enterprise. Have a wonderful day and week ahead.